I want to highlight in our hearing today, you all know that I was in a series prior to Palm Sunday and Resurrection Sunday, and we paused for a moment in that series, and we want to pick that back up. This will be the last sermon of the series, and it is what I believe one of the most important. And I want to highlight, and that is what makes a great church. And I want to highlight in our hearing out of 2 Chronicles chapter 24, 2 Chronicles chapter 24, and we're going to read in our hearing starting at verse number 4, verse number 4. It reads as follows out of the English Standard Version. It says, after this, Joaz decided to restore the house of the Lord. And he gathered the priests and the Levites and said to them, go out to the city of Judah and gather from all Israel money to repair the house of your God from year to year, and see that you act quickly. But the Levites did not act quickly. So the Lord summoned Jehoiada the chief, and said to him, why have you not required the Levites to bring in from Judah and Jerusalem the tax levied by Moses, the servant of the Lord, and the congregation of Israel for the tent of testimony? For the sons of Athaliah, the wicked woman, had broken into the house of God and had also used all the dedicated things of the house of the Lord for the Baals. So the king summoned that they made a chest, and they set it outside the gate of the house of the Lord, and proclaimed, and a proclamation was made throughout Judah and Jerusalem to bring in for the Lord the tax that Moses, the servants of God, laid on Israel in the wilderness. And all the princes and all the people rejoiced and brought their tax and dropped it into the chest until they had finished. And whenever the chest was brought to the king's officers by the Levites, when they saw that there was much money in it, the king's secretary and the officers of the chief priests would come and empty the chest and take it and return it to its place. Thus they did day after day and collected money in abundance. And the king and Jehoiada gave it to those who had charge of the work of the house of the Lord, and they hired masons and carpenters to restore the house of the Lord, and also workers in iron and bronze to repair the house of the Lord. So those who were engaged in the work labored, and the repairing went forward in their hands, and they restored the house of God to its proper condition and strengthened it. Verse 14, and when they had finished, they brought the rest of the money before the king and Jehoiada, and with it they were made utensils for the house of the Lord, both for the service and for the burnt offering, for the dishes and incense, vessels of gold and silver, and they offered burnt offerings in the house of the Lord regularly in the days of Jehoiada. I want to put a tag on this text, talk about for a timely tidbit. A great church is a giving church. A great church is a giving church. And listen, beloved, note that I am aware that when I preach on giving, I'm preaching on one of the most sensitive subjects on which a preacher can preach. Giving is extremely sensitive nerve that runs from the pocketbook to the heart. And let me just say this, I know that these are tough economic times. I know, beloved, that these are indeed tough times for all of us. Not since the Great Depression have we seen a more volatile, fluctuating, uncertain financial climate. I get that, I understand that. And here it is, beloved, though, we have been talking about what makes a great church. We said that a great church is made up of great church members, and great church members and a great church are certainly a worshiping church. We tried to unpack that. A great church is a growing church, a serving church, and a loving church. And here it is. Please understand that we cannot talk about what it means to be a great church if we do not mention giving as one of its best characteristics. Great churches are made up of great church members who are giving members. Hear me and hear me good, beloved, because members who recognize the joy and the blessing of giving. And when we come to 2 Chronicles chapter 24, we have, in my opinion, one of the greatest examples of giving in the Bible. It is the story of Joash and his chest. And I want us to think, beloved, of the great example of giving and learn from this great example. To set the backdrop of the story, let me, by way of introduction, say a couple of things about Joash. Let me say first a moment and talk a moment about the life of Joash. Listen, what an interesting life Joash had. We read in verse 1 that Joash was 7 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned, the Bible declares, for 40 years in Jerusalem. He said he was just a kid when he took the throne of Judah. For the most part, he was a godly king. In verse 2, we have a wonderful testimony of the kind of king that he was. It says, Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Joash's background provides insight to why he was the kind of king that honored God. When you look at 1 Kings chapter 11, we learn that his family was slaughtered by the evil Athaliah. He was the only survivor because the wife of the high priest took him and hid him in the temple chambers, according to 2 Kings chapter 11, verse 2. For the next 6 critical, informative years of his life, listen, beloved, he was daily surrounded by the things of God and godly examples. It is not surprising that the Bible says he did right in the sight of God. And whereas, beloved, the early years of Joash is marked by bright spots, regretfully, the ending years of his life are marked by dark blots. Notice in verse 2, it says that Joash did right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada. The priest, Jehoiada, the priest. It was after the death of this godly influence in his life that things went south for Joash. Verse 17 and 21, when you get a chance, read it. Of 2 Chronicles 24 tells of how certain leaders came to him and persuaded him to compromise and tolerate the worship of Baal. It began the spiritual decline and downfall of Joash and Judah. In the end, the king who had begun doing what was right in the sight of the Lord was, in fact, an object of conspiracy and slain by his servants. Let me just say this, a word not only about the life of Joash, but let me talk about the leadership of Joash. After Joash, verse 4, decided to restore the house of the Lord. It was during the reign of Joram and Athaliah, the temple had been pillaged and enriched for the worship of Baal. All the sacred vessels and items had been taken and devoted to idol worship. And watch this. In the process, the temple had been desecrated and left in a tragic and terrible state. As the years passed, the state of decay and deterioration only worsened. And as the leader of Judah, Joash found the condition of the sacred temple of the one true God troubling. And beloved, the burden he carried in his heart was to refurbish and repair the temple. His solution to that was to take an offering. Hear me, beloved. We see that in verse 5. He had a chest built, the Bible declares, and 2 Kings chapter 12, verse 9 tells us that it bore a hole in the lid and set it by the right side of the altar of the burnt of offering. And when the time came for the people to bring the offering, they passed the altar and put the money in the chest. I want us to look at how the people gave in this offering. It's a great example, beloved, of giving, and from it we learn several lessons about our own giving. How did the people in the time of Joaz give? First of all, I believe they gave purposefully. Listen, purposefully. That is my first point. They gave purposefully. The reason the people gave was to repair the house of their God. Listen, beloved, I can't help but notice how Joaz, how he put the command. He said, it's not just a house of God, he says, but it's the house of your God. In other words, beloved, he gave them a personal reason for giving. They were not giving to repair a house, they were giving to repair the house of their God, the house, the temple of Almighty God, the house that was their God. Why do we give, beloved? I'm glad you asked, because giving is an important part of all that we do. Why is that? Because there is a great purpose in our giving. What's the purpose? I'm glad you asked that as well. The purpose, first of all, what we see in the text is that it is for the ministry of the house of God. On other occasions in scriptures, beloved, we learn that giving that had been commanded by God was for the purpose of providing for the daily functions and activities of the temple. Hear me and hear me good. It provided the financial resources for the daily operation as well as those who carried out the operation. One of the reasons we as members of St. Paul or any other church give is to provide financial resources to carry out the ministry and the mission of our church. Get me when I say that. The ministry and the mission of our church. There are programs and there are ministries that need to be funded by our giving. There are light bills and water bills and other bills that need to be paid, as well as giving allows us to pay staff members that help us to carry out the daily and weekly functions of the church. Let me be clear, none of these things could be done without your giving. I wish somebody would help me right there, because it is giving, beloved, to the ministry of the house of God. It is for the ministry and the mission of our church, why we are here and what we are supposed to be doing. But also, I believe the text is tailored to teach us, beloved, that they gave purposefully, not only because of the ministry of the house of God, but also the maintenance of the house of God. We see in the case of Joaz, the giving of the people of God was to repair the house of God. That there are facilities that God has given us, a sanctuary to worship in, as well as to provide a place for all of the many activities that go on daily around here. These buildings have to be cleaned, things have to be fixed, and there are constant upkeep and maintenance. Listen, that is required. How do we take care of the facilities that God has given us? Listen, it is through the giving of God's people. Listen, beloved, here it is. I have often heard that the preacher says, we're going to take an offering. And I guess a better word would be, we're going to receive an offering. Because when we receive an offering, we realize that it is a great purpose for the offering. And how we understand that great purpose changes our view on giving. The purpose of why they gave in the text was the foundation to the attitude they expressed in their giving. They gave because they needed to repair the church, the temple. Listen, beloved, let me throw this in for free. And that is this. Our goal as the leadership here is to be upfront and transparent. The goal is that you will never have to guess where the money went. Are you hearing me? You may not have liked where it went, but you will never have to guess where it went. You may have done it another way, but the truth of the matter is you will know where every penny, every nickel, every dime goes in this church. And listen, you won't be able to
tell the untruth. I don't know what happened, and I don't know where that money went. Not under my leadership. I wish somebody would help me. The truth is, I'm not ashamed to say that your church needs you. It needs you to give so that we can carry out the mission and the ministry of this church. I'm reminded of a fellow who was marooned on a desert island with another fellow. He was walking around wringing his hands and saying to himself, we're going to die here and no one will ever find us here. And all the time, the other fellow was leaning against a coconut tree, enjoying the sun and acting like he did not have a care in the world. The worried fellow said to him, aren't you worried? Don't you realize that we will probably never be found and we will die on this island? The calm fellow replied, nah, I'm not worried at all. My offering is over $1,000 a week. My pastor will sure enough find me. I wish somebody would help me. You'll get that on the way home. Listen, we laugh, but a good church member is a giving church member. Are you hearing me? Listen, beloved, they gave purposefully, but not only did they give purposefully, they gave obediently. We read, listen, in verse 6, watch this, that Joash asked the priest and the Levites, why have you not required the Levites to bring in from Judah and Jerusalem the tax levied by Moses, the servant of the Lord, and the congregation of Israel for the tent testimony? The truth is, what Joash was calling the people to do had actually been commanded by God through his servant Moses. Listen, apparently the people had not been giving, and Joash was calling the people back to giving to the command of God. That was a command that was ordained by God. Their giving was an act of obedience to the command of God. And let me remind you, beloved, that giving not only has a great purpose, but giving is a command received from God. When we give, we are being obedient to the command of God. Now, I know there's always some enlightened and spiritually advanced church member who will say that tithing is an Old Testament principle. And my answer to that would be, yes, it is. Yes, it is. It sure was. But also, it is a New Testament practice as well. Let me see if I can't help you real quick. The New Testament does not specifically use the word tithe as it relates to giving, but it is very clear about giving. Hear me good. Let me show you a verse that clarifies New Testament giving. That is 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2. It says, on the first day of the week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up as he may prosper, so that there will be no collection when I come. Listen, this is the Apostle Paul that is talking to the church at Corinth. And I don't think that there's any verse in the whole entire Bible that is more clearer about the New Testament giving. It speaks of when we give. It speaks of where we give. And it speaks of what we give. Listen, when we give, the text says, on the first day of the week. Those of you who are Bible scholars and know that the first day of the week is Sunday, Paul was telling the church at Corinth that when they come to church, they are to give. It also speaks of where of our giving. Listen, the reference to the first day of the week implies, listen, that we are assembling at church with other believers. If you are logged on the internet, you are assembled. If you are listening to us on YouTube, you are assembled with us in worship. And you better recognize that that is where. And hear me, beloved, the where is the church. The church is where we are to give what God commands us to give. You can give to the spotted owl. You can give to the migration of the whales, but your offering, listen, your main offering belongs to the church. Are you listening to me? We ought to feel bad. I feel bad for some of those televangelists who need a new airplane. Are you listening to me? So they tell tell you to send your offering to them. Listen, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't send your main offering to some televangelist because you're not getting fed there. You're not, amen, somebody, you're not helping your church to move forward and lift higher and to minister to the community around them. And if the televangelist needs an airplane, he better call Southwest Airlines. I wish somebody would help me. Your church needs you. The Bible is clear. It teaches that your church is where you ought to give your offering. Preach, Reese, I'm trying to do that on a giving sermon. Here it is. It speaks of where we give. It speaks of when we give, but it also speaks of what we give. Listen, the measure of our giving according to Paul's sharing with the church at Corinth is he tells them as God has prospered. I like that, beloved, as God has prospered us. In other words, we give according to what we have received. Now, I believe the tithe of the Old Testament set the standard for giving, which is 10%. And even though we are no longer under the law, that it is through the law that it was established in the Old Testament that the standard was 10%. And I find nowhere in the Bible where God has rescinded the standard or lowered it in the New Testament. I believe the law of 10% serves as a continual standard by which we begin our giving. Notice I said begin our giving, not end our giving. Are you listening to me? Some can give more than 10%. And if 10% was good under the law, how much better should it be under grace? If 10% was good in the Old Testament, how much more that after Jesus came on the scene, and now we recognize we are no longer under the law, but we are under the grace of God. How much more is 10% ought to be the standard under grace? Are you listening to me? The truth of the matter is, beloved, I've come to discover that God commands our giving. I'm reminded of a little boy who was in the first grade, and his mother sent him out to catch the bus for the first time with books in one hand and a lunch pail in the other. 30 seconds later, the doorbell rang. The little boy replied, "I quit school. It's too boring, too long, and too hard." The mother clapped back. I wish somebody would help me. And said, "Boy, you just describe the rest of your life. Get out of here and go get on that bus." Listen, I'm trying to help somebody today because somebody's trying to figure out how they're going to get through, how they're going to make it. But if we are going to make it as Christians, we need to get on the bus of giving and let God take us where He wants us to go. God wants to bless us, but we got to get on the bus. Listen, they gave purposefully. They gave, beloved, obediently, but also, beloved, they gave willfully. Listen, they gave willfully. 2 Kings chapter 12, verse 4 says, gives an account of their giving. Joash said to the priest, and this is 2 Kings chapter 12, verse 4. It says, "All the money of the holy things that is brought into the house of the Lord, the money for which each man is assessed, the money from the assessment of persons, the money that a man's heart prompts him to bring into the house of the Lord." Get that, beloved. Joash speaks of different aspects of giving. First, there was a giving that was commanded by God, whereas the tithe, we understand, it refers to, in the words, the money for which each man was assessed. In other words, there was a certain amount set aside, to be set aside by God for every man to give. Also, it spoke of money that a man's heart prompts him to give. Now, this is giving that exceeds a set amount. Hear me, beloved. We will call this an offering or giving an amount over and above our 10%. There are times when God puts an amount on our heart to give, and it's best that we give it. This was the amount that we would be willfully given by the people of God. This measure of giving, hear me, beloved, was an amount that would be gratefully given. If you give over and above a certain amount, listen, it has to be given gratefully. Listen, there was an amount that every person was commanded to give, but in this case, there was an amount that they would give because they wanted to give. They wanted to do it. They wanted to put, they wanted to repair the kingdom. It was an amount that they would give out of a grateful heart. Hear me, beloved. Do you remember how Joaz approached their giving? Remember, listen, they would give to repair the house of your God. That's how Joaz put it. This was an offering that revealed how they felt about God. Hear me, beloved. The words "your God" speaks of a personal relationship that they had with him. This relationship embraced a history of a God who had redeemed them and brought them into the land they possessed. Listen, let me just say this. When we willfully give to the kingdom of God, hear me, beloved, not grudgingly or under compulsion, not with somebody pushing you or prodding you, but when we willfully give, it comes from a grateful heart. For the one who has a relationship and a history with God, a grateful, willing giver knows that we give because of all that God has given us. And listen, beloved, I need to help you real quick right here. You need to recognize that God has blessed us tremendously. And if you got 10 cents over a dollar living in America at this time, you better thank God that he's been good to you. Are you listening to me? And not only has he blessed us materially, I need somebody to shout, because you know God blessed you because he redeemed your soul. He redeemed you and bought you with a price. And now he lifted you up out of the muck and the miry clay. You were turned in one direction, but God turned you around. And because God turns you around, you willfully give to him because you recognize all that God has done for you. I wish I could preach it like I feel it. Because listen, it's gratefully given. It's gratefully given. It's gratefully given for those who have been redeemed by God and those who have a history with God. But not only is it gratefully given while they give willfully, it is an amount that was gladly given. Get this. I told you before that the offering was taken, but received. Everybody shout receive. Matter of fact, type that in the comment section, received. It was received. It wasn't taken. And I understand in some cases it feels as if we are taking an offering. And I've been in services where it felt like the preacher was holding the congregation hostage with an AK-47 in his hand and literally taking the offering. Y'all been in those services where the preacher stood up and say, we need 10 more dollars or we need 5 more dollars. That makes me want to run out of that church when I hear stuff like that. We need 2 more dollars and 3 more dollars and all of that stuff. And it's almost like they are holding the congregation hostage. Can I help somebody? Listen, no one who is a child of God ought to have their offering taken. I wish somebody get that. Not the people of God, not those who love the Lord. And you all say, I love the Lord. He heard my cry and he pitied every groan. Are you listening to me? If that's the God you serve, notice, beloved, that there were no temple guards standing there by the altar with swords in their hand forcing the people to give. It was an act of giving that was gratefully and gladly done. They gave with a smile on their face. And when when a person gets to the place in their Christian life where they can gladly give gladly, listen, they have learned one of the great lessons of real biblical giving. It reminds me, beloved, of a little church whose roof was leaking and the church did not have the money to make the repairs. So the members of the church who loved God and loved the church got together and they had a prayer meeting, not a prayer meeting, a prayer meeting. I like that because that's what they used to do in the country time. They had a prayer meeting, and now there was one guy in the church that had a whole lot of Skrilla, had a whole lot of blue strips, had a whole lot of money, and he was really wealthy, but he was known to be tight with his money. When it came to the church, he would sit in the back so he could slip out right before the offering. So this fella made the mistake of coming to the prayer meeting. And as he walked in, one of the old mothers was at the mic. She began to pray out. And she began to pray. And as she got into her prayer real good, a piece of that raggedy roof fell and hit that man right on the top of his head. He stood up and, thinking it was a sign from God, shouted, "All right, Lord, I'll give $1,000. And the mother who was at the mic said, prayed out, "Hit him again, Lord, hit him again, because that ain't enough." Are you listening to me? Listen, beloved, don't make God go upside your head in order to make you give. You ought to give out of a grateful heart. You ought to give gladly with a smile on your face. You ought to give because giving ought to flow out of a grateful and a glad heart. It ought to be the overflow based upon what God has done for you. Are you listening to me? That's why I love Psalms 116, line 2, that says, "What shall I render the Lord for all of his benefits toward me? What shall I give to God for all that he's done for me? What shall I render unto him for how he's blessed my life?" And listen, if you can't shout on anything else, you ought to shout on that. Listen, what can I give God back in return for all of the stuff that he's blessed me with in my life? Listen, I cannot outgive God. That's all I'm trying to say here. Listen, their obedience sprang, listen, from a devoted heart. They gave because, listen, they, like Paul said to the church of the Macedonian churches, that they gave out of their deep poverty, but they first gave themselves to the Lord. And when you give everything to God, you realize that everything you have belongs to him. Is that all right to say? Listen, beloved, a great church is a giving church. And listen, we see that in the life of Joash, that the people of Judah gave purposefully. They gave obediently. They gave willingly. But listen, beloved, they also gave liberally. They gave liberally. Verse 11, the chest was brought to the king, officers, by the Levites, and when they saw that there was much money in it, the king's secretary and the officers of the chief priest would come and empty the chest and take it and return it to its place. Thus they did day after day, and collecting money in abundance. Now, here's a verse that ought to make a pastor jump for joy. The Bible says they gave much money, and they collected money in abundance. Hear this. When I read that, it makes me want to run laps around this big old building. Listen, the Bible tells us that they gave so liberally that the chest was emptied, to be emptied on different occasions. And listen, I want to be in that service when the offering is received and the plates are filled up so much that the ushers were having trouble keeping all of the plates, keeping it all in all the plates. They gave, I believe the text suggests, sacrificially. Listen, abundant expression of their giving indicates that the people gave over and above what was required and even asked. And they no doubt gave everything they could, and some gave what they really could not afford to give. Hear this. It was an expression of sacrificial giving. It is not equal giving, it's equal sacrifice. In other words, I may have more to give, but my sacrifice should not be less than your sacrifice. If you only have 2 mites and I got 100 mites, the sacrifice ought to be equal. Listen, you can only give so much with 2 mites, but I can give more to where I sacrifice with my 100 mites. Does that make sense? Listen, in a great church, there are stories of sacrificial giving. How this church came to be here on 14th Avenue is a testimony to the saints who have gone home to be with the Lord of how they gave sacrificially to get us where we are today. And sacrificial giving is what is going to carry us further. We still have much work to do. We still have more ministry to do. The story is not yet told of what is expected of the St. Paul Church here in the heart of Oak Park. And the more we give, the more we can do. They gave sacrificially, but they gave sufficiently. Listen, verse 12, and the king and Jehoiada gave it to those who had charge of the work of the house of the Lord, and they hired masons and carpenters to restore the house of the Lord, and also workers in iron and bronze to repair the house of the Lord. Listen, they gave enough to do the work that was in the heart of Joash. I found that when there is a need in God's work, hear me, beloved, not greed, but need. Not greed, but need. Hear me, beloved, if the people give as they ought to give, obediently, willfully, and liberally, the need is always met. I hope you hear that. If we do what we are supposed to do, God will meet the need. Are you listening to me? If it's God's will, it is God's bill. And God will meet the need. And I've seen him do it, beloved. I've seen God make ways out of no way. I've seen God touch the heart of individuals and usher them in with a heart of giving and meet every single need of the church, for every ministry, for every mission, for every vision that is cast by the church. God can meet the need. Are you listening to me? They gave sufficiently in their liberal giving. They gave sacrificially, but lastly, I need to tell you this. You put the meat on it, I'll give you the bones right now. Listen, here it is. They gave joyfully. Watch this, beloved. Watch what it says. This is what you got to get. They did not look at what Joash asked them to do as a burden or inconvenience. Neither do we read that there was anybody grumbling or upset. And listen about the offering. Hear me, beloved. They saw it as a great purpose, and that was to rebuild, to repair the house of God. And as a result of the great purpose, it became a great privilege. Listen, they were giving to a place that glorified God, that magnified his name. And we read in verse 10 that all the princes and all the people rejoiced and brought their taxes and dropped it into the chest until they had finished. Notice what the text says. Notice the word all. Everybody that was giving on that day, the Bible says, beloved, that all the people rejoiced. We got to learn how, when we give an offering to God, we got to learn how to rejoice in the Lord. We got to learn how to give with a joyful heart. We got to learn how to recognize that when we give to the kingdom of God, we're giving to help build God's kingdom so that the church can evangelize and the church can disciple and the church can worship on Sunday morning. And when we give and all of that comes together, you can't help but to give God some praise. We got to learn how to trust God even in the midst of this climate. We got to learn how to give to God in spite of what is going on in our world. Why? Because our trust is not in government. Our trust is not in the county. Our trust is in a God who has proven himself to be trustworthy. He has proven himself to be dependable. And he has proven himself to be reliable. Listen, beloved, when we talk about a great church, we got to talk about a giving church. And when we talk about a giving church, we're talking about great members are giving members.